Notice I highlighted certain areas of the book of 1 Peter. In other words, I haven't ministered it verse by verse, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, but I've hit in certain areas because it would be real easy for me to minister 1 Peter and 2 Peter and go on into next year. How many of you know that the Word of God is rich? It is rich. Praise God. It's rich, and I thank God for that. And God can reveal to us His will for our lives through His Word. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I want to begin in chapter 5 of 1 Peter. It says, verse 1, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Glory, hallelujah. Amen. I'm looking forward to that crown of glory. I want it. You hear me? I said, I want it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to talk about the shepherds, leaders, for a little while, and we can all glean from that and learn from that, because each of us has a calling of some type on our lives. There's a purpose. Now, as you hear me say many times, not every one of us are called to what we call the fivefold ministry, which is the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Not all of us are called to the fivefold ministry, but all of us has a place in the body of Christ. And there is a place of service for each of every one of us. Amen? Amen. Say this to yourself out loud. I have been called to serve.
I have been called to
serve. Say it again.
I have been called to serve.
Yes, amen. Now, also, while you're at it, go ahead and tell the person beside you. Tell them two times. You have been called to serve. See, we got to get that on the inside of us. Amen. We have been called to serve. Jesus himself said, when he came to the earth, he said, the King James Version says minister. He says, but he said, he didn't come to earth to be served, but to serve. He says, I've come to serve. I've come to do the will of my Father. Hallelujah. And he was a blessing to those all around him. Amen. He preached to them the good news of the gospel. He healed the sick. He raised many that were dead. And John tells us in his gospel, the books could not contain everything that he did. Amen. But we know what's written in the 66 books of the Bible that we have. But he came to serve. And so The apostle Peter, he was an apostle, but he also referred to himself as an elder. Now, a lot of times when we hear the word elder, we think of an older person. You know, we hear this phrase sometimes, oh yes, he was an elderly gentleman, she was an elderly lady, which simply means that he or she was an older man or an older woman. They, in other words, they had some age on them. So elder certainly refers to being older in age, but it also means minister, those that are leaders, the pastors of the church and so forth, and ministers are known as elders. Amen? So the Apostle Peter says, the elders who are among you, he says, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. He says in verse 2, shepherd the flock. Amen. That's what pastors do, right? Another word for pastors is shepherd. Yeah. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Now, let me tell you something about ministry or ministers, okay? I am a minister. I'm a pastor, teacher. But because I am a pastor, because I teach the body of Christ, one of the teachers in the body of Christ, I am never to tell you to do as I say, but not as I do. Do you hear me? That's not what God called us to. To stand in your presence and yell out at you and tell you what you should be doing, how you should be living. Now, don't get me wrong, that's my responsibility as a pastor and as a shepherd to instruct, to preach the word of God. Amen. But I need to be doing what I tell you to do. God requires that of me. He requires that of all ministers. You preach the word of God. You preach my word, but you make sure you live by the same word you preach. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you still here? And you know, when I first read this, I thought, "Ooh, gave me a little chill." And I'm referring to the book of James. Flip back just a few pages, the book of James. Third chapter. Book of James, third chapter. Listen. Verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man or a mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn them, and we turn their whole body. Now, okay, they have it on the screens here. I want James 3:1 in the Amplified Classic, please. Amplified Bible, give me that. It says, not many of you should become teachers, self-constituted censors and reprovers of others, my brethren. For you know that we, teachers, will be judged by a higher standard with a greater severity than other people. Thus, we assume the greater accountability and the more condemnation. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? And I tell people, if God's calling you to the ministry, you need to prepare to fulfill your call. Stop running. Stop making up excuses. Because here's the thing, we're going to have to give an account for our disobedience, just like we do for our obedience. I heard a preacher say one time, some years back, he said he believed God going to ask some folks one day, or you may ask them while they're still living, what in the world are you doing out here driving the bus, the church bus, that is, when you're supposed to be in the pulpit? And then he said, he's going to ask some others, why are you in the pulpit when I called you to drive the bus? Amen. We want to work where God has called us. Hallelujah. I thank God for this brother right here. I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable, but I just want to say this publicly. He does a tremendous job. Those of you that ride the vans and buses, the vans, don't you agree with me? Tremendous job. Making sure folk get to church. And that's a ministry in itself. What a blessing. What a blessing. So driving the bus or driving the van is no less important to God than preaching the gospel. We just need to be where God called us to, because then you're a blessing. You hear me? Some folks go into the ministry for different reasons. But the only reason anyone should ever go into the ministry is because God called them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let me say that again. The only reason, and I'm talking about fivefold ministry right now, because the Bible tells us all of us are ministers. We all have the ministry of reconciliation. But if you're going, Some folks say, well, you know, I aspire to be a pastor. Okay, but is that what God calling you to do? Or do you think that's an opportunity to make a lot of money? Or some other reason? You should go into ministry because God called you there. In other words, you're being obedient to the call. Amen. Not because your best friend went into the ministry and you thought it was a good idea. No. But if you don't go into the ministry, God's got a place for you. You need to find out where that is and serve. Say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it's not a do as I say, but not as I do. Understand something. Teachers have a great influence on the ones they teach. You hear me? Teachers influence the ones they teach. That's the reason the Bible says, know them that labor among you. That's one of the reasons. Know them that labor among you. You know, your pastor, your minister, your elder, whatever you call them, they should be living what they teach you to the best of their ability. Now, understand, nobody's perfect. You understand that, right? We're still all living a human body. Nobody is perfect, but now don't use that as an excuse. Because some people use that as an excuse. Well, you know, I'm doing my thing, but you know, nobody's perfect. You know, no. Because we're going to have to answer to God for our service. We are. We're going to have to answer to God for our service. And if you're teaching, whether you're called there or not, you're going to be judged by the same rules. Because you influence people's life. You send them off in the wrong direction, you're going to have to give an account for that. Amen. So when you're a teacher, that's a place of influence. All of us should influence others, but we should influence them for good, pointing them to Jesus. Amen. Are you still here? And I want to say this before I move on. I'm not going to be before you long today. Now I'm talking to those, I don't know, could be some of you in here, I really don't know. Could be some folks watching the live stream. But if God's been calling you into the ministry and you know he's calling you into the ministry, you need to stop running. Now. You hear me? You need to stop running. Now, you know, life can really be frustrating when you're not where you're supposed to be. Well, Lord, why this? And Lord, why that? And Lord, why? Why isn't this happening? Why? It may be because you're resisting God's call on your life. And it doesn't necessarily have to be fivefold ministry, really. God could be calling you into an area and you say, nah, Lord, I don't want to do that. I just don't want to do that. That's not me. I don't want to do that. Heard one minister say God told him to go to a certain place and preach. He didn't want to go. He got fed up with ministry. And I'm here to tell you, ministry can be trying. Is there one amen out there somewhere?
Amen.
Yeah, ministry can be trying. I wouldn't tell anybody ministry is easy because it is not. because number one, there are the spirits of darkness that you got to deal with, and then you got to deal with people. One thing you need to do, all of us need to do this, but especially ministers, go ahead and settle it in your mind right now. Regardless of how people act, I'm going to love them. Amen. Amen. Now that'll take a load off of you right there. Amen. But sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes things are tough simply because we're living in rebellion. We're fighting God. But now let me get back to what the little story I was telling you. This guy said God told him to do something, and he didn't want to do it, go to a certain place. He didn't want to go. And he was having a fit. And this was not a new ministry either. He'd been in ministry a long time. And he was having a fit, and God told him, and he said, God, I don't want to do that. And so he argued with God. God told him, says, go pray. He argued with God about that. I don't want to go pray. I don't want to go pray about this because I don't want to do it. You know what, Lord, I don't want to do it. I don't want to pray about this. God said, go pray. So he said, I like the way he phrased it. He said, God, I'm not going to pray. Then he went and prayed. But while he was praying, he got a phone call from somebody that told him, somebody he knew, we need you to come and preach in our area. And he went. It pays to obey God. Listen, it's time to stop arguing with God, stop making up excuses. And I'm not just talking about fivefold ministry. I'm just talking about simply being obedient. Let's just flow with him. Let's just flow with him. Love God and love people. I said, love God and love people. Glory to God. Amen. Are you still here? So now, let me get back over here. 1 Peter. Look at verse 2 again. 1 Peter 5, verse 2, it says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Everybody say willingly. And not for money. Say not for money. Amen. Nor, listen to this, and we still have some of this in the body of Christ, not as being lords over those entrusted to you. Listen, can I tell you something? There's only one Lord. His name is Jesus. Amen. I'm your pastor, those of you that are members here at Word of Life Fellowship Church. I am your pastor, but I am not your Lord. So I'm not going to lord over your life. It got so bad some years back, some leadership was beginning to tell people what to wear, what kind of car to drive, this, that. That is crazy. I don't want to be involved in anybody's personal life any more than I have to be. And the only reason I get sometime into their personal lives is because they invite me in. Because they need to sit down and talk about some things. You understand what I'm saying? Because you have to understand, I have a life too. I have a life too. So I have to take care of me. I have to take care of me. But when I'm invited in, I come in because that's my job as a pastor, to pray and to do whatever I can do to make things better. But I'm not trying to get in everybody's business. I come stand before you and preach to you the word of God. You know what you can do? One or two things: receive it or reject it. Let me say that again. You do one or two things when you sit and hear the word of God. Not just me, any minister. You either receive it or you reject it. If you reject what I preach to you, ain't a thing I can do about it. Now, but now you become responsible for what you heard. You become responsible to God. If the word of God, everybody say word of God. If the word of God, I'm not talking about some other off-the-wall stuff, but if the word of God is preached to you, you can receive, and this goes for all of us, we can receive it or reject it, but we become responsible for the word we heard. If it's the word of God, we become responsible for the word of God. Now we have to answer to God as to why we didn't obey it, if we didn't. You're still here. Hallelujah. So he's warning the shepherds here, stop lording over God's people. Now I realize and every pastor, we all have a certain level of responsibility. There are things that we're over, and you understand all that, you know. I think you do, as far as the job of a pastor is concerned. But he's not, he or she's not going to follow you around every day to make sure you do what you should be doing. That's not our responsibility. Hallelujah. Amen. And whether you are a pastor or you serve in else in the fivefold ministry, or you may not be in the fivefold ministry at all, I can tell you this: when you obey God's word, there is a reward waiting on you. Do you hear what I just said? I said there is a reward waiting on you. Amen. Now let me say this, and I'm going to close, because I told you I wasn't going to be long. So I'm going to go ahead and slide my notes here in my Bible. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let me say something. There are places and positions in church that need to be filled. Okay, let me say that again. There are places and positions in church that need to be filled. Thank you. Because if we are going to do the work that God called us to do, we are all going to have to work together. Amen. And there's a ministry the Bible talks about called HELPS, H-E-L-P-S. Aren't y'all proud of me? I can spell a little bit. The smaller words. Amen. There's a ministry called HELPS. In other words, you are helping, you are doing your part to help make sure that the call that's upon that ministry go forth. Because, and I'll use me for example, because this is the church I pastor. When God called me to pastor this church, he never called me to do it by myself. Because if I tried to do everything by myself, I'm telling you right now, y'all would be reading about me, maybe visiting my cemetery location, wherever I'm buried at, because no one person can do it all. Now, I'm getting ready to close. God spoke to me about building this church. And now, you know, this men's church here is not considered a large church compared to many, 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 many other churches. But God spoke to me about building a 500-seater, and that's what we are presently. We can expand. It can be, this building is designed, this church is designed, and it can be doubled, if need be, to over 1,000. That's how it's designed. But as it is right now, 500 people if it's full, over 500 if it's full. Now, God didn't call me to bring in 500 people. I'll tell you right now, we don't have 500 people here today. Amen. I'm glad you're here, those of you that are here, but we don't have 500 people here today. But you know what? God didn't call me to fill this church by myself. Mm-hmm. So that means then each and every one of you out there need to be praying. And don't get me wrong, I thank God. We have some good people at this church. Shout amen.
Amen.
I thank God for each and every one of you. We have good people at this church. I thank God for the work that you do. And we have folks out right now with the young folk just doing a great job of working with them. Amen. And they're doing it enthusiastically and they're happy and about it. But what am I saying? We need some more help. Because there are other things that we can do. Because I'm not jumping on anything by myself, especially at my age. I got to have help. Praise God. But help requires sacrifice. If you're going to serve God, you're going to have to sacrifice. If you're going to serve God, you may have to miss your NFL team one Sunday. Or one Monday, or whatever. Because, besides, can I tell you something? I hadn't seen anywhere in Scripture where it says God's going to have the NFL in heaven. Now, I don't know what goes on in everything that'll be going on in heaven, but I hadn't heard anything about baseball, basketball, or anything like that. But I don't get smart with me. Oh, I don't know if I want to go to it. Yes, you do. Because I can guarantee you, if they're throwing anything in hell, it's fireballs. And you won't be quick enough to duck. So it pays to serve God. I like sports, especially the NFL. I like to watch it. But what am I saying? I'm not going to allow it to come ahead of what God's called me to do and serving him. Amen. I have time to watch games. Amen. I mean, my goodness, with the technology we have today, all you got to do is DVR it and you can go back and watch it later, you know? So we can do that. But we still have a mission. We still have a call, and we got to fulfill that call. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Amen. So come on, jump on board, see me, see my wife, see my son, the one that looks like me, that back there somewhere. Talk to us. Let us know. Praise God. I'm ready to get more involved. Pastor, God's really gifted me to be able to do this, that, or the other, you know, and I'm just ready to get involved. So praise God. Hallelujah. That's what we want to hear. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word, and we know that your word will not turn to you void. I thank you for the people that we have here. Thank you for the people that love us, that love this ministry, Father God, and serving in this ministry. We thank you for them, and we thank you for others that are coming on board, Father God, to get this work done, not for my glory, but for your glory. We're here, Father, to serve you, carry out your will. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Now, if you